This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the Little Smokies.
Now you're alone, stand to face it. Back from the road, you're coming down. So to be sure, a spurring lesson. Cause it takes me just a little while to process all the news. Miles, I can't understand. Amazing.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program Matt Cornetti and Andy Dunnigan of Little Smokies. How you guys doing?
John, how are you? It's good to be here.
Great.
Great to have you back in the studio. And our engineer tonight, Beth Ann Austin, is calling this the John Knew Them When episode of Musician Spotlight. And before we get to that and explain what that's all about, we should make sure to mention the other members of the group, Little Smokies, and it's Little, L-I-L, apostrophe, not little, Scott Parker on bass, Matthew Rev Rieger on guitar and vocals, and Jake Simpson on fiddle and vocals. We were just saying right before the interview started, that it's been a decade, exactly.
Yeah.
Almost exactly. 2000, yeah, 2000.
Really?
Well, it was like the fall of 2010.
Okay.
Is when the first time that we had Little Smokies in the studio.
Yeah.
And if memory serves me right, at that point, we recorded like 10 tunes here
right
in the Montana
room.
Public Radio studios,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you guys didn't have any studio
that's right.
recording. So this was the first one.
We were excited. We were like, killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, very cool. And I remember that you'd been hitting the streets busking and getting all kinds of Montana gigs and starting to get out into the world of the festivals and so forth.
Yeah.
And since then, obviously, incredible success of the group. A constant touring. You guys have been working your tails off for, well, since then, pretty much, and before then, certainly as well. Some of the highlights include Red Rocks, the Telluride Festival, High Sierra, and if I have this correctly, three full-length recordings prior to your most recent release, which is Tornillo, and that includes a live album in those first three. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, we're going to talk about Tornillo for sure and feature a lot of the music from that recording. Let's go back to the early days. Let's go back to We Knew Them.
Capsule.
I knew you guys when. And we came in here and we recorded all these tracks. It was Little Smokies. It was the two of you. It was an entirely different lineup.
Yeah.
We had Aaron Anderson, who played mandolin and guitar. Pete Barrett played guitar. Cameron Wilson on mandolin.
Ted
Germanson on bass.
Yeah. That's right.
Andy.
And you.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And did we do I couldn't remember if it was original material or did we do some covers?
You did a little bit of a mix.
Was Andy singing at the time?
I wasn't singing at the time.
Oh, really? No. Okay.
No,
I forgot about
that. We must have done almost all covers. And we were writing a lot of, I think our original music was pretty much instrumentals. So, yeah.
Was Pete doing any singing?
Pete was singing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
So Pete was the front man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a pre-Andy singing period. In this band.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. I'd totally forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And to think that, an entirely different group of musicians, and the fact that now you're the primary singer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an incredible switch off there.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a whole different band, you know? And now having Jake and Rev, they're great singers and harmony. Like, that stuff wasn't even on the table back then, you know? I mean, there was vocals, but we were really focused on instruments, solos, you know, being kind of the Newgrass, Bela Fleck, Jerry Douglas type. Now it's more focused on songwriting and, you know, kind of fusing those two together.
Things I wanted to ask you guys was, at what point did you really kind of get the feeling we're onto something here? This is going to be more than just, you know, a weekend band.
I think those band competitions, we did one in the Northwest String Summit in like 2013. or 14?
Yeah, it was 2013. It was a Northwest String Solo.
And we won first place in that. And that was like our first kind of voyage outside of Montana. And I was starting to write songs and sing, and people were responding to that. We already had made a pretty big splash in Missoula. So that was a really good kind of impetus for us to keep going, you know, and we weren't, perhaps we weren't delusional after all, you know, people outside of the state that weren't just our buddies at the Top Hat were digging this music. And then subsequently after we won the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and that was a big deal, you know, that's one of those events I went to when I was a kid, and watched the band competition. And that's kind of like a big, you know, apex in the musical world that we were in. So those two, I think, were kind of the pillars, you know.
And we should mention to listeners who are outside the Western Montana area, the Top Hat, we're talking about the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, which has now become a major music venue here in the Northwest. So you're kind of getting that feel in terms of the reception you're getting. Maybe to go a little bit deeper with that, like maybe when you started to feel as musicians yourselves, you know, like beyond the reception, like the connection with the other players. So I guess maybe, well, I guess we're talking about two different experiences, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But maybe that first thing, maybe the two of you, had you guys played together before? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was interesting. I'm kind of like a senior member because I played in the Broken Valley Roadshow, which was my first band in Missoula. And throughout that time period, I would play music all the time with other musicians in town. And I think I met Andy when he was 20.
20, yeah.
And I was 30 at the time. And we just started jamming and had really good chemistry. And there were lots of other members from that ended up being in the original Little Smokies lineup that always wanted to play music. So I finally found my match. I'm like, oh, I can play music all the time. And I think the magic was there from the beginning. And I think going back to your question, I think that it was kind of like when we started playing, and I think when we played our first gig together was when we realized that we had something.
Yeah. You know? I think there's been magic in each of the amalgamations.
Yeah.
Like from that first time we all met at, you know, and played music all night, we all had a kind of a shared catalog of musicians, and you know, it kind of was like that from each group, you know.
Begin. time, I will tell you everything. And we'll dance to the fiddle and the silver tambourine. Another decade gone, failed in vain. A city stained in a warm spring rain. Close your eyes, feel the warmth setting in. No place to start, nowhere to begin.
Matt Cornetti and Andy Dunnigan of the Little Smokies are joining us here on Musician Spotlight today. I wanted to dig into the most recent recording project, Tornillo. And if I'm correct, the name of the album actually comes from where you recorded it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little place outside of El Paso, Texas, right on the border of Juarez, Mexico, at the studio called The Sonic Ranch. Sitting on this, like, what was it?
10,000 acre
pecan orchard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right in the middle of the desert. And it was just bizarre in the best way possible. Yeah.
And there's some history with that studio itself. Is that right?
Yeah.
In terms of other bands that have recorded there. And...
Yeah. Who was just there? Bon Iver did his last album there. I mean, they've had a lot of really famous people in there.
Yvette Brothers, maybe? Is that?
Yep.
Ministry. ZZ Top. There's a lot of genres that go through there. And the isolation was the geography was a big part of that too. Just so we could really focus on playing the whole time.
For the songwriting, one of the things I come across frequently when I've been looking through the bio and the information about the project, a Laurel Canyon inspired music. Let's talk about that for kind of explain to folks maybe what that means. I know there was a documentary fairly recently all based on the Laurel Canyon experience.
Yeah.
Andy, was that your quote?
That wasn't my quote, actually.
It's featured prominently on the
Yeah, it is. I just kind of read that and I thought
it was yours. That's why you should answer this.
No, I mean, I love the Laurel Canyon whole scene, and I think the, you know, like the Jackson Browne Eagles, you know, kind of singer-songwriter from the, you know, 70s is kind mm-hmm. of the Laurel Canyon.
Mamas and Papas, yeah. Going that far back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dave Crosby and
yep, all
before,
that.
And Neil Young and those guys, Stephen Stills, before they were Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think we're trying to move in that direction. We get kind of pigeonholed into this bluegrass scene or jam grass and into a, as a jam band, but, you know, really... We're really really melody driven, and we like singer songwriters, and a lot of that goes into our songwriting, you know. And this, I think, this album is kind of the best example of from our previous work.
The other thing that I come across when looking at the promo stuff for the music on this album, Tornillo, a rock band energy. So beyond the songwriting itself, is there a switch in kind of the energy you're trying to capture with the group at this point? Or
I
mean, not.
I think the rock band energy, like, there's some rock elements for our live show for sure. Like, you come to our show and it's a high energy show, but we're able to kind of mitigate that with, you know, there still are songs and they're lyrically driven as well. So we like to have a little bit of all of that in a live show. And I think for this album we did most of it live. You know, we wanted to have that kind of, you know, there's some really upbeat songs as well as some slower, more ballady-esque tunes, but we did it all live just because it's alive.
Hours, even days, but now the never spoken reality was broken, propelled beyond a limitless space. Returning from the tiny death, we shine eyes wide like Lazarus. We will rise again. Tonight we gather, deny we matter, deny that we will really never end. But I'm losing control. Immersion, redefine a version, feel the love and don't let it go, cause it starts and then it ends so unexpectedly, minutes under hours, even days, but no, the never spoken reality was broken, propelled beyond a limitless space, but I'm losing control.
Andy Dunnigan and Matt Cornetti of the Little Smokies joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. We started to talk a little bit about songwriting, how that's kind of been more of the focus of the band. I want to know a little bit more about that process. You know, it's kind of almost a cliche question, but it is fascinating, particularly for this. This is one of the things I was thinking about before we did this interview, is that all of you are tremendous, tremendous players. And that's very much a part of what the band is about, is featuring really good players, for sure. How do you create songs that showcase that, but do so at the service of the song and not the other way around? Because I think that's that can be a real tricky thing.
It can be a really tricky thing.
Especially for musicians who started out as primarily instrumental music, you know, players.
Yeah, I think it's a sign of kind of the evolution of a musician too, where you're kind of toning back and listening more than you're trying to be almost like a college basketball player and shooting from the half court. You know, I think that's how we were when we were in here last, 10 years ago, who can take the fastest solo. And now it's kind of, there's a few tracks on here that don't have any solos, but it's more about the arrangement process, So that just seems to have happened naturally for us too. It's been really fun.
And what about the lyrical part of it and how that kind of develops? Again, I'm thinking of a lot of times musicians who, grew up mastering their instrument don't think to pursue or don't take the chance to pursue the concept of not only singing but also expressing themselves with written words.
Yeah. Well, here in Missoula, Montana, I went to the university and studied creative writing and poetry in particular. And so I kind of had all these logs and journals and poems and stuff that I had. And I remember when I first kind of was able to fuse singing, melody, and words together, that was like the ultimate lightning bolt that went off. But I have just as much passion for how words sound together, the assonance and how different phrases will develop. And sometimes when I'll be, mad-libbing a song, it's the sounds that the words create and will develop the entire, or kind of just inspire the rest of the song and the melody. It's just it's a very ambiguous, and it's kind of like talking about the magic, where it's really ambiguous and hard to explain, but words, sounds, and melody, they're all equal in my heart for sure.
We'll be back with more of our interview with the Little Smokies on Musician Spotlight. Welcome back to Musician Spotlight and our visit with the Little Smokies.
But now the West was won with steel-toed boots and brine. Now the young blood years that we kept in the back like wine. Now the things were taught that we never adhered to. Now the things you were, they faded away so.
You on the leafless tree, finding my way to the top. I'm trying to ignite the breeze, trying to prepare the chops. But the more I lay with you, the harder you will fall. Lonely roaming roots, wealth can't be pulled out. It's true blues, but you left me with
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm joined today by Matt Cornetti and Andy Dunnigan of the Little Smokies. I want to talk about the road, and you guys are road dogs, road warriors, whatever you want,
however you want to call it.
One of the things that I came across was that in recording this project, that the respite from the road enabled you guys to kind of connect and recharge creatively. And can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So we were on the road, and knowing that this project was August, and I think it was maybe April when we were playing a lot of shows. We had a really big February, March, and April. We were on the road constantly. With the studio project ahead, we started practicing on the road quite a bit and trying songs out live. And I think that was interesting. And then taking a break before we went to the studio, but also having the chops from being on the road for 3 months straight, we were ready to play the material live. To specify, we recorded without doing it tracked out, where one person plays and then another person plays another time. We played it all live together. We were ready to play it, and we could actually execute it because we were warmed up, but we also had our brains kind of relaxed from some time off to reflect. Okay. Yeah.
We had been pretty much touring constantly for the last 2 years straight, it seemed like. I was personally, and I think the band in general, was pretty fried at that point before going into the studio. But the studio, you know, it was like we got to do the studio and then we got to do Red Rocks. And for me, that kind of pulled me out of a definite burnout. You know, I'd never really experienced that before in my musical life, where you just weren't feeling it, you know, and you'd get to sound check, be like, I'm just tired, you know, I need to go home, which is kind of, it can be a drag when you're on the road and you miss your friends and family. But we got some time off and we recorded this album, and we all really came together. I think music became fun again. And then we got to do Red Rocks, and it felt like we kind of came out of this cloud, you know, and we sort of lost ourselves as road dogs.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead to another question I was going to ask a little bit later in the interview, but since you mentioned Red Rocks, in the course of this journey that you guys have been on and traveling all over the country and beyond, what have been some of your favorite venues? Let's start with venues.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there are...
And types of venues, maybe.
So many great venues we've played. I think I've enjoyed playing venues where I've heard live shows from previously. Mm. Like, you know, Jerry Garcia band played at the Warfield.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're doing a sound check and you're standing up looking at the balcony of the Warfield and taken back to 1982 or something, or, you know, 91. Is really powerful and humbling at the same time.
I mean, you can kind of feel the history. They still have And I'm not even the biggest Deadhead, but you can go downstairs in the green room and they have like Jerry Garcia's, he had his own personal dressing room, this purple door. And there's just the history in those walls, man. Mm. I mean, the 930 Club in DC is a really cool one. And the Sinclair in Boston, we've had, you know, and then there's like somewhere in like the Club Cafe in Pittsburgh where it's like a really small, intimate room. So we run the gauntlet coast to coast as far as we can play a, you know, a huge, huge room. And then we'll go and play a little cafe. Obviously Red Rocks was amazing too.
Well, yeah. And with Red Rocks, I mean, that I never thought, even no matter how well we would have done in or whatever would happen in the future, I never thought that that was going to be a gig.
Yeah. Seems cartoonish, fictional, always. Yeah, pulling up that day, I'd never even seen a show there. And it was like, I woke up that day just really nervous. And I don't typically get nervous anymore, but alarm goes off and you're like, man, I have something to do tonight. Hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
One of the coolest moments was knowing that you can do that and nothing went wrong. We played really well and it doesn't really, I mean, just doesn't get bigger than that. So if you can do that, you can kind of do anything, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a good moment with the band.
Cheers, y'all. Western front, through broken towns and thriving cities. She turned to me, tried to speak, knew there'd be no convincing. And something changed in the way she smiled. She had a smirk like Mona Lisa. Became to me mystery, so trying to make sense of the ocean. Might as well, she told me long ago that you never really know. Might as well, she told me long ago, I never knew until I recall that night in the canyon bar, saying karaoke to the strangers. Oh, but I still get chills. I probably always will. Never write a tiny dancer. But might as well, she told me long ago that you never really know. But might as well, she told me long ago that you never know.
Andy Dunnigan and Matt Cornetti from Little Smokies joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. I wanted to ask a question very different than anything else we've talked about so far. Well, it relates to, we talked about when the band first came here 10 years ago to record. We talked about the different members of the band, different lineup. It seems like, you know, if I may, I wanted to acknowledge there's a very challenging thing that happened to the band in losing Aaron Anderson. Mm-hmm. I know that a little bit of the story, you know, he was no longer in the band at that time, if I recall, but that was a big thing. It was mm-hmm. a big thing for the Montana music community, the Montana community.
Yeah.
And if you guys are comfortable with that, I just wanted to maybe if you could share a little bit of what that was like for you and how you were able to get past that, mm-hmm. because that's a significant thing to have happen.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the last things he told me, last conversation we had, he just told me how much he enjoyed my personal style, you know, mm. and that always sticks with me about, you know, being yourself. It's a big part of why I try to stay true to my own style is a lot in part of his, I had so much respect for him as a musician. So his input was always like, anytime he gave me any sort of criticism, I took it to heart. And when he told me that, it just stuck with me. So it's with me every day when I think about playing.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was the first thing me and Matt were talking about when we walked into the studio. I'm like, man, we were here right here with Aaron 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. A lot has happened. He would be so happy and proud of us for sure. You know, I think I never got to sing with Aaron. That's one thing that I always regret. Oh, he was always really urging me to sing. I think I did a little bit of harmony with him once. I was so shy back then, especially vocally. And I think he saw some potential, but that was always kind of a big bummer. But he always had positive things to say. Like, you know, Matt said, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from with Aaron, you know, and mental health is kind of becoming, there's a spotlight on that for sure right now in music and in our sphere and in, you know, in all different spheres in the music industry. And it's not easy being out there. You know, there's vices everywhere. And mm-hmm. I think just how you navigate.
And maybe just remind listeners real quick, Aaron played guitar and
he played guitar and mandolin. He was sort of the utility. Right. He's had a really great voice, and he was writing songs, actually, back 10 years. We probably played a couple of his songs.
Well, Whiskey, played that one song, Whiskey, okay. on the show. I remember hearing it again. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. And he studied music at the University of Montana and got a degree. Yeah.
I noticed, I couldn't help thinking about this before we started this interview, and I went on Facebook, and you know they still have a page up for him.
Yeah.
And people are still checking in every once in a while and telling stories.
Yeah.
And one came from John Adam Smith, Missoula musician, talking about, you know, late night parties and you know, playing, not the part, well, parties, yes, fun, but playing music until the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of that.
He was a big part of that. That's how we played so much music back then, you know, like, and just not, we would play before the gig, play at the gig, we'd play after the gig. We just never stopped, you know, and Aaron was at every single one of those jams.
Well, it just clicked with the memory right now. Memory banks, that's a while ago. I think that's actually how I met you, Andy,
is
through Aaron. He said, oh, we're having a pick, and I went up there, and Andy was definitely up there at that time, and I think that's how I met the original crew, was through Aaron.
Interesting.
Cool.
And we don't need to get into the details, but we maybe just tell folks that Aaron died unexpectedly. He's a very young man.
Yeah.
And it was a real.
Yeah, it was a tough, challenging time for all of us too. But I think he would just be really proud of us persevering and carrying the torch.
I was born in the mountains many years ago. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Matt Cornetti and Andy Dunnigan of the Little Smokies. Earlier in the interview, I asked you to reflect on some of your favorite venues from your travel. Let's have a little more fun. Watch some great restaurants you've been to.
Mission Chinese in, we've been, there's multiple Mission Chineses, but we went to one in Berkeley just recently, and it was excellent. Or it's in Oakland, actually.
Yeah,
Mission Chinese in Berkeley.
Burma Superstar, you're talking about? Yeah, it was Burma Superstar, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
Okay.
Let's start over. Mission Chinese.
Where's that at?
Well, Mission Chinese in Lower East Side in New York City is exceptional.
You're right.
So I ate there,
we
too.
We have also eaten there, too.
Okay. All right.
Man.
We pretty much live on Yelp, TripAdvisor, and Eater, and I just make an average of the three sites to find the best place.
All right. And are you solely responsible for that?
No, not at all. No. Everyone gets involved. Sometimes it's good for all of us to maybe go eat by ourselves at times. generally, I think for us, it's finding really good traditional Mexican, like taco buses and stuff like that in the middle of, you know, Iowa. Or, you know, really great Thai in most cities, Northern Thai, you know, stuff with a lot of acidity and spice. And also trying to keep it on a budget. We're not trying to find, you know, we're not going to Chez Panisse or anything, you know. although I would like to go there. If anyone out there wants to take me, I'll go.
We're all about the Whole Foods in the morning. We got to hit it before. But there's a
happy spot
between
breakfast and lunch. It's about 10:30.
Okay, I feel you on that.
Sometimes you can get there and there's nothing in the hot bar.
In the morning, it's best to go to a place where everyone can be satisfied. So if we went to a diner, I'm not satisfied.
Okay. So Jake is, though.
And Jake is very satisfied. So we just go to Whole Foods, and if somebody wants to eat a salad and somebody wants to eat breakfast, they can. So
compromise.
We just keep
John.
It simple.
Compromise.
Okay. Got it. Sure. It's all about the compromise. All right, let's leave restaurants behind and let's talk trails. Because the reason I bring this up is because I know that this is, and as true Montana guys, that when you're on the road, you know, or off the road, that, you know, I'm looking at the band members pursue activities like rafting, fly fishing, hiking, and rock climbing. Of course you do, because you're Montanans, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's talk trails. I can't imagine that when you're on the road, you don't. Or maybe, I don't know, look for some good trails.
You know, when we're on the road, we don't have a lot of time. It's pretty tight where, since we're not in a tour bus, we don't wake up where we're going to play. We end up driving early in the morning to the afternoon. So we have maybe a couple hours to spare. What we do, we have YMCA memberships, and they have a nationwide program where we can pretty much access any YMCA in the country. And generally, we'll just go and lift weights, run, swim.
Sauna.
Most of the time. And maybe on a day off between the two tours, and we're, you know, get to stay in a town for more than one day. In the wintertime, I try to get a free ski ticket. If it's, you know, we play a lot in Colorado and ski states too, like Utah and California. So we'll ski a lot. Andy does a lot of hiking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of hiking while I'm on the road. On my off time, I'm always, you know, I'm kind of living in Vancouver, BC right now. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, ton of hiking and island hopping and whatnot. And of course in Whitefish and up in Glacier. But yeah, when we're on the road, we just, like Matt said, we don't have a lot of time. And rest days are kind of rest days, you know, but we're pretty adamant YMCA guys, which is kind
of, I can't help but reflect on, you know, some of your early conversation about being in these theaters that Jerry Garcia played. And I'm trying to envision Jerry Garcia having Y membership while he was on, yeah. while he had the Him dead were on Weir. The road.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Dinner plates, legs the size of trees. Well, he was folklore with the pulse, a fairy tale conceived. Nearly every night for 20 years he suited up. Yeah, the neon lights, the TV shows, the doctors full of drugs. Guess you didn't even ask. Tonight I'm wondering why I even do this. If you could just pour me 100 drinks, I might sleep like the giant. When you look like Halloween, yeah, and there's no place to hide your face when your job is to be seen. In between two worlds, once was so clearly defined. His fame became the barrier, outgrew him in size. I'm alright, I guess you didn't even ask. Tonight I'm wondering why I even do this. If you could just pour me 100 dreams, I might sleep like a giant. I might sleep like a giant.
LittleSmokies.com is the name of their website. I'm going to spell that for folks to make sure that they get this right. T-H-E, the Lil, L-I-L, Smokies, S-M-O-K-I-E's.com. I'm assuming most people understand what the derivation of that name is.
The Lil Smokies, the sausage meat product. Yeah.
Well, we some people might think it's the Smoky Mountain Range,
yes.
Which is more fitting for our music, but unfortunately, that's not it. That's
I
a
had
better
never
story.
About that.
Yeah, when we're
that's
down, a, when we're down in that part of the country, I feel like there's probably a lot of confusion.
For for an Eastern Tennessee or North Carolina, people want to believe that. So I actually let them believe that.
Think toothpicks.
Yeah. LittleSmokies.com. Tornillo is their most recent recording, and will be available by the time this program hits the airwaves. Thanks so much, you guys, for coming back into the studio and talking shop with
us. Thanks, Jonas.
It's good to be back here.
A martyr for the masses and a self-made spectacle. At a certain point, it becomes hard to let it go. Job of 40 hearts was done by one and it grew tired. Stayed at home mostly low in the hills of Caroline.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest has been the Lil Smokies. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. The interview for this program was engineered by Beth Ann Austin. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.